2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. And that I might not be exalted by the exceeding greatness of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn for the flesh, a messenger of Satan, that he might buffet me, that I might not be exalted. For this I thrice besought the Lord, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace suffices thee, for my power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ, the Christ, may dwell upon me. Wherefore I take pleasure in weaknesses, in insults, in necessities, in persecutions, in straits, for Christ, for when I am weak, then I am powerful. And then just in 1 John 5, I think. 1 John 5 and verse 14. And this is the boldness which we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of him. I haven't got a lot to say in a way on this, but I've been thinking about this matter of prayer. As someone at the Refresh Weekend asked, does God always answer prayer? And that is a very good question. I'm not sure that the question was fully answered. The point is that God does answer prayer, but it may not be what we desire or expect. The first passage I read, Paul had a particular problem. I think if we read between the lines, it was definitely an eyesight problem he had. It says he prayed 3 times. It's interesting, it's from Satan, a messenger of Satan. So God does use the enemy to discipline us. You've only got to read Job to realize that. There's a messenger of Satan, it says to buffet. It's interesting, the note there refers to the way that they buffeted the Lord. Darby's note. So it's a forceful thing, something quite strong. And, well, things come into our lives which seem very hurtful. But the Apostle Paul, he prays 3 times. I'm never quite sure whether it's 3 specific one-off times or whether it's a period of 3 times. But anyway, he gets the answer. It's not the answer he's expecting, but he gets, if you like, a better answer than my grace is sufficient. Mm. You know, there's a song I think I've heard where it says, thank God for unanswered prayers, which seems rather odd. But you know, sometimes we pray for things which probably God knows best. God knows better than we do. So sometimes we can thank God for unanswered prayers. But actually, in another sense, God always answers the prayer. But he may not give us what we're looking for or expecting, but it's always for our best. And what Paul received was actually better than the removal of the problem, because he was made strong in his weakness. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful thing. No other person other than a believer in the Lord Jesus can say that. There are many people who are weak in this world, but if you're weak physically or in circumstances, but you have the grace of the Lord Jesus, then you're strong. It's wonderful, isn't it? What power we have as believers. Our strength is made perfect in weakness. These are difficult things. We have problems all the time as believers. We pray hard, and sometimes things never happen. But God gives the grace to carry on. I read in John's epistle, because this is a different setting. It's interesting, it says we have boldness. I think sometimes we're not simple enough in our prayers. You read the Psalms, how direct in one sense the psalmists were, with David, for example, how direct he was to God, and he could say what was on his heart. And you know, we have boldness, not arrogance. It doesn't say we have arrogance, but we have boldness because of the one who was already there, our merciful and great high priest, who intercedes on our behalf. And it's interesting, it says we have boldness, which we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now that's the point, isn't it? It's according to his will. Now that's the most difficult thing, I have to say. And I don't know the answer. I mean, there's some things you'd never give up praying for. The salvation of a loved one or an acquaintance, you'd never give up praying for someone's salvation. We pray every week for those that come in, that they might be converted. Or maybe a believer that's gone cold, got away. You'd never give up praying for them. Surely that would be his will. But in regards to our circumstances, well, we have to seek God's will. I find it a difficult thing, I admit. But there it is, that if we put it into his hands, he knows best. It says, according to his will. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition. Now that sounds like, on the surface, well, whatever we want, we can have. It doesn't mean that, I think. I think it shows some hint of the intimacy that the believer can have with the Father and the Lord, to really know his mind. And I would covet to know that better. Do I really know what God desires for myself, for my family, for the brethren, for men? Am I really in tune with the will of the Lord? That's a big question and something that should exercise us. But I believe that if we are in tune with it, then we will get our desires granted. The Lord loves to do it. He would love to answer our prayers if they're really praying according to his will. And if you want some pattern of how to pray, you think of John 17, what a prayer that is. If you might say, a perfect prayer, because he was completely in tune with his God and Father. Well, I haven't got much more to say, but let us be exercised to continue to pray when we need to, and have the grace to if not, to understand what the Lord is saying to us, and we will be given the grace to be strong in those circumstances. Might be so, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.